This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, May 25th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The pandemic showed just how useful technology can be for healthcare, from telemedicine to how clinical trials are conducted. And that has spurred investment in new health tech startups to record heights. So, how will all that funding change medical treatment in the US? At the Wall Street Journal's recent Future of Everything Festival, our reporter Chip Cutter spoke with health tech entrepreneur Jonathan Bush about it. We'll have highlights from their conversation after these headlines. Shares of Snap plunged yesterday, falling 43%. The tumble came after Snap issued a profit warning on Monday and said it planned to slow hiring and spending as it faces a range of issues, including rising inflation and lower ad revenue. In a memo to staff reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, Snap's CEO, Evan Spiegel, said the company's revenue continues to grow year over year, but it's growing slower than expected. Our reporter Patience Hagen says while Snap's woes may be a sign of broader market trends, some people who watch the sector think it may be an outlier.
A lot of analysts are pointing out like Snap's signal, it could be a kind of canary in the coal mine because it does point to a rapidly deteriorating macro environment that may impact the whole ad industry. At the same time, Snap is a little bit different from the others because if you just look at it, the growth expectations that it had, they were so aggressive, right? So some analysts are pointing to that and saying, hey, maybe their growth expectations were unique and that might be the reason why they're the ones having to revise them down first.
SpaceX has raised at least $1.5 billion in its latest funding round and reached a valuation of around $125 billion, according to an investor. The company has been spending heavily on Starship, a rocket system it wants to use for deep space missions, and on its satellite internet service, Starlink. The fresh cash comes as SpaceX CEO Elon Musk faces a new bout of controversy. Last week, Insider reported the company paid an unidentified flight attendant $250,000 to settle a sexual misconduct claim against Musk. On Twitter, Musk called the accusations utterly untrue. The Attorney General for Washington, D.C. is suing Mark Zuckerberg. The suit alleges the Facebook founder participated in decision-making that let third parties, including the now-defunct political consulting firm Cambridge Analytica, obtain personal data on 87 million Americans. The charges echo ones the AG's office leveled last year, when it tried to add Zuckerberg as a defendant in a lawsuit filed against Facebook in 2018, before it became Meta. A judge denied that motion earlier this year. Meta declined to comment on the new case. And sources say Airbnb plans to close its domestic operations in China. Harsh COVID-19 lockdowns in the country have compounded the pain from increased local competition. That's according to people familiar with the decision. They say China typically accounts for about 1% of Airbnb's overall revenue. All right, coming up, tired of entering your name, insurance information, and medical history every time you see a new doctor? Well, could a health profile similar to a social media profile be the answer? We'll hear from a CEO who says it is after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The use of telehealth has exploded over the last 2 years. and it's continued long past the time when doctors couldn't physically see some patients during lockdowns. So, what's next for health tech? At the Wall Street Journal's recent Future of Everything Festival, we heard from the co-founder and former CEO of Athena Health, Jonathan Bush. He's now the CEO of Zeus Health, a startup that aims to offer the underlying tech scaffolding for a range of digital health startups. He spoke with WSJ reporter Chip Cutter about where the industry stands. Here are highlights from their conversation.
Thanks for being here.
It's a treat, Chip.
Yeah. What was it, the problem that you saw in healthcare that made you say, I want to get back into this, I want to launch Zeus?
Well, when you get fired, you don't have to worry about having a job for a while, especially if you're really publicly fired. You know, being canceled is freeing of the calendar. So I got the chance to kind of make angel investments and go to these kinds of cool gatherings and got invited eventually. Sheeplessly, you know, would you like to help us with our startup? And what I found is that there is some commonality, like a ton of commonality, amongst these thousands of digital health startups. A lot of it's really exciting, though. These are, for the first time, companies that can code and deliver care in the same company, in the same bag. Yeah. So remember the Software Eats World podcast, the idea of it. You know, if you can't code, if you can't make software, you can't deliver strawberries. The Athena Health client base, God bless them, wonderful doctors and practices, they couldn't code their way out of a wet paper bag. And if you ask them to, they laugh you right out of the room, right? But these companies who are picking off not all of medicine, they're not saying, I'm going to be, you know, a digital Columbia Presbyterian. But they're saying, look, if I could provide just nothing but always on super affordable access to irritable bowel consulting, I could crush this vexing disease that typical trips to the gastroenterologist just haven't affected. And so all of them have that in common. They all have in common that they don't really like the pricing and packaging of fee-for-service medicine.
I see.
The atomic unit of all the technology that has come before is basically trying to get to a claim that'll be paid at maximum value by a government or an insurance company. But the other thing is, they're building a lot of the same stuff. You know, everybody needs to register a patient. Has everybody given you a clipboard, you know, if you've tried these new light? It's not a clipboard, it's a digital app of blank fields that you fill in. And Zeus said, well, you know, we could do that.
I see. And so it's really providing sort of these back-end share tools that companies might need. I mean, I've heard Zeus described as like an AWS for healthcare and internet of healthcare. I mean, do you think about it that way?
I think most of you modern people in the crowd don't, you know, keep your resume current. You just keep your LinkedIn current and you flick your LinkedIn and people are flicking it around that you don't even know and checking at it. And yet we don't have that in medicine, right? And what we'd like is to see if you have your Zeus profile as a thing that one doctor wants. I think you need this kind of specialist. You flick it at that specialist database and they say, no, that's not my subspecialty. That's someone else. And have it intelligently get it right so that you don't start again with that bloody clipboard or thumb board or whatever.
So like, the pandemic changed a lot about sort of how people get care.
Sure.
What will stay? What goes back to sort of the way it was pre-pandemic? I just wonder sort of what you think the lasting changes of this will be.
Right. There was a McKinsey study, you know, right about 10 minutes before the pandemic that said, according to our analysis over the next 15 years, as much as 18% of healthcare could be delivered virtually. You know, and 10 minutes after they published this thing, 100% of healthcare was delivered virtually immediately, you know, with no McKinsey studies to do the transformation. Just a bunch of guys at the hospital tech department like, okay, what's a Zoom? Like,
right.
Is it HIPAA compliant? Fuck, you know, who cares? Let's. And all of a sudden, we're doing everything virtually. Now, of course, you know, there are companies that are saying, well, wait a minute. If I could do things virtually, I'm not constrained by geography. I'm not constrained by geographic monopolies power. I can subspecialize more. I can focus on one culture, one attitude, one language, one subspecialty of care. And I can do it. I can find matches the way we have in Facebook, which has got good and bad, right? Nationally. So I can build a national scale thing on one thing if I eliminate the need to have the butt and the information in the same room to deliver care. Mm. And that to me is profoundly, both clinically, culturally, and financially valuable to medicine.
Mm. Will healthcare be cheaper in sort of this more modern digital world? Or no?
Well, it's American Chip. We'll find a way to get more of it, you know. What I think will be cheaper is access to care. So I'm not sure it eliminates the need for surgery or makes us stop going after more and more rare diseases with more and more expensive drugs. That's all going on. But the access to care, the plumber and the fisherman that sort of skips the visit, that's going away. Mm. And that to me is very exciting. It also means that there's a navigation layer. It means that you don't just stumble up to whatever oncologist happens to be on the other side of whatever emergency room you stumbled up to. Yeah. You hit it on the app and says, no. For your genotype and your disease, the guy you need is actually in California. No problem. We'll zoom her in and, you know, your local lab will do the work or your local chemo, you know, will come in. But she'll supervise because she knows that soft tissue better than anyone.
Well, I've got plenty of additional questions for you, but want to open it up to those here in the room. Any questions for Jonathan? I think we've got one right in the middle. If you wouldn't mind giving us your name and where you're from.
David from Pittsburgh. We hear a lot about patient experience. How do you get providers or clinicians on board with any of these new types of tools that, you know, for providers, they might be super busy,
yeah,
against tech, new tech. Just how do you kind of get them on board?
Well, one of the most interesting things about digital health is you don't need to get the same volume of providers on board. So you need a vastly smaller number of individual providers. So, for example, if you were to build a network in a traditional health plan that you wanted to sell to an employer, well, employer says, well, I've got employees in 32 states. Do you have? Oh, we have everything you need in 32. So now you got to go out and get Noah's Ark. You got to go to Cleveland and get two cardiologists and two dermatologists and two, right? And you need to get them all. If you're going to do something unique or novel, you got to get them all to do this unique or novel thing. That's a lot of crowd herding, right? If you're a digital health company, you're only taking one narrow slice. And it's virtual.
Well, I think that's a great place to leave it, Jonathan. So
Chip,
appreciate
man.
The time. This was
Thanks
great.
For having
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want to listen to the full talk, check out the link in our show notes. And as always, for more tech stories, you can go to our website, wsj.com. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.